Are you or a loved one in the midst of a cancer diagnosis or bouncing back from your battle? Welcome to Thrive Through Cancer, the podcast that offers hope and healing and shares personal experiences, self-care solutions, health tips, and the support of a community of people just like you. I'm Susan Johnson, a functional nutritional therapy practitioner whose own son was diagnosed with cancer right before his third birthday. My job was to keep people healthy, to help them fight disease. So when my own son was diagnosed with this scary illness, it was so humbling. But rather than becoming a victim, I began researching. I up-leveled my knowledge and my mindset, and I chose to serve others through our own cancer journey. This show is an opportunity to find and share strength through our struggles. You'll hear from health professionals, innovative thinkers, beautiful personalities, and those who have learned to live life to the fullest despite their diagnosis. We'll raise some questions, find some answers, shed a few tears, share more than a few laughs, and give each other the motivation to get through one more day every single day. So join me in this journey and let's learn to thrive through cancer together. Hello, I am really looking forward to sharing today's episode with you because it just so happens to be holiday time, and this is a topic that although might not be directly related to a cancer diagnosis, I think that it is just a beautiful understanding of natural medicine and the history behind plant medicine, and that it dates all the way back to biblical times. So today we're going to talk about essential oils of the Bible. And really, I want you to look at this as kind of a fun just visit back to history, but also really seeing the beautiful depth of this plant medicine and essential oils and how, of course, it was used by Jesus, on Jesus, but also by the Israelites. And so I want to take you back to that time, to Bible times, as we enjoy this holiday season. But before we get started, I want to remind you that you can have hope in your healing. You can feel well, and you can thrive through cancer. So there's a few verses that right off the top of my head come to mind when I think about plant medicine and how it's mentioned in the Bible. Jesus said, "The fruit thereof shall be for food, and the leaf, therefore, for your medicine." That was in Ezekiel 47:12. "God provides us with the herbs for the service of man." That's Psalm 104:14. "And they opened their treasures and presented Jesus with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh." Matthew 2:11. Now, before I go any further, please understand that by no means do I mean to take anything out of the Bible out of context, but rather just share with you the different times and mentions of natural therapies that were in the Bible. In fact, it was mentioned over 300 times, which is so fascinating to me. One of my favorite stories is actually the story of Mary anointing Jesus' feet. And what's really beautiful about this story is something that I hadn't known until I was just reading and researching a little bit more about essential oils of the Bible. So if you remember, the story is that it was almost time for Jesus to be crucified, and Mary got down underneath the table that he was sitting at and anointed his feet with her perfume. And they said in the Bible that it was a bottle of nard. And nard just so happens to be spikenard, which is an essential oil that I have used before. And what I found really beautiful about this was that the benefits of spikenard, if you look up what are the emotional benefits of spikenard, the emotional benefits are actually that it's very calming. It can help calm the nervous system. It can help with feelings of anxiousness. And what a beautiful gift for Mary to do for Jesus. She might not have had any idea or clue that those benefits were being experienced by her anointing Jesus' feet. But I just think, again, what a beautiful story of how an essential oil, in this case, was used on Jesus just a few days before he was crucified. And we can still have access to these powerful tools today. And that's what I hope you take away from this, is not just as a history, kind of a visit back to history, but also knowing that you can implement this in your everyday life as well. So I want you to, I want to give you just a brief explanation of essential oils. We won't take a lot of time on this, but just for those of you who are maybe new to this idea, how do they work? How can you use them? And then we'll jump in to covering the topic of essential oils of the Bible. So how do essential oils work? Well, the really cool thing is they actually can work at the cellular level because they are a lipid. Every cell in your body has what's called a cell membrane, and that cell membrane is made of fat. And its job is to keep the good things in the cell and the bad things out of the cell. But what happens is many times virus DNA duplicates on the inside of a cell. And so if you were to get sick and you went to your doctor, you would go to your doctor. If you had a virus, they would say, "I'm so sorry. There's not much I can do for you. Go home and get some rest." And you would say, "Ah, but I feel so bad. Are you sure there's nothing that you can give?" And maybe they'd recommend you take an NSAID, something like, you know, Tylenol, ibuprofen, and get some rest. But the reason they're not giving you an antibiotic is because that cell membrane, which is protecting the cell, is made of fat. And remember, I said that the virus DNA duplicates on the inside of a cell. An antibiotic is water soluble. It's not fat soluble. So that means it can't penetrate. An antibiotic cannot penetrate through a fat membrane, which is protecting the cell, to get inside and stop the virus duplication. It just can't do that. But what can is something that's also a lipid, a fat, something that's fat soluble. And thankfully, essential oils are lipids. And so they can actually penetrate the cell membrane, get inside the cell, and begin to work their magic on the inside of a cell. And so this is why through our cancer journey, this was a huge part of what we did. And I'll be sharing more about that on this podcast. But we use these not only reactively, but also preventatively. So they do work at the cellular level for our physical health. But what's really cool, and kind of the story I just shared about Jesus and Mary anointing his feet with spikenard, is we can also use them for emotions. And the way this works is through your olfactory system. So your olfactory system is the system in your body that processes sense of smell and taste. And the olfactory nerve is located, if you were wearing glasses right now, it would be kind of right under where your glasses sit on the bridge of your nose. That's where your olfactory nerve is. That nerve is connected to the limbic system in your brain. Your limbic system is what processes sense of memory and emotion. So this is why many times you smell something and it triggers an emotion or a memory, good or bad, right? For me, if I smell pie, it brings me right back to my grandma's kitchen when I was younger, helping her bake apple pie. So you might have a similar experience, but this is why an aroma can be therapeutic and why you've heard the term aromatherapy, because there is a direct correlation between our olfactory system and our limbic system. And they work together to help create a response, an emotional response, or in this case, they can help stop a negative emotional response if we're using aromatherapy. Now, there's three ways to use essential oils. And the first is you can diffuse them and use them aromatically. And the idea of this is a couple ways. You could just take a couple drops of essential oil and drop it right on your hands, rub your hands together, cup your hands over your face, and take a few deep breaths in. It's a wonderful way to get the aromatic benefits. And I think it's the quickest way to access the limbic system. So if you are wanting to help with an emotional response, smelling the essential oil is powerful. Now, the other way you can use it aromatically is in a diffuser. There's diffusers that you can put essential oils in. And they will diffuse the volatile lipids of the essential oil into the air. And then the second way to use them is topically. And so in this case, you would put the oil where it hurts. Put the oil where the problem is. Or if you're in doubt and you're not sure where to put it, maybe you have a virus or perhaps you have pain all throughout your body. And so in this case, you would put the essential oil on the bottoms of your feet. Your feet are very absorptive and your blood flows up towards your heart. Your feet also aren't sensitive. And so putting them on the bottoms of your feet, there's actually studies that have proven that in doing this, the essential oil is absorbed into your bloodstream within 28 seconds and begins servicing every cell in your body. It's really powerful. So using it topically, I do always recommend diluting it with a carrier oil, especially if you have sensitive skin. Maybe you're using it on little ones or the elderly. Using a little bit of fractionated coconut oil, you could use jojoba oil, any type of an oil or a fat that can dilute the property of the essential oil in the case of sensitive skin. And then the third way, and this is specific to a certified pure tested grade essential oil like doTERRA, you can use it internally. Now, the only ones that you can use internally are ones that have a supplement fact label on the bottle. And you can do this by putting a drop under your tongue. You could put it in a veggie capsule, make your own concoction in a veggie capsule, or in your water. So those are the three ways to use it: aromatically, topically, and internally. Now, I do want to recommend, when we're looking at internal use, topical use, even aromatic use, there are some helpful things to pay attention to. And one is, everybody is a little bit different. So for little ones, you don't really need to use a lot internally. In fact, I would minimize the use internally. Also, little ones don't need nearly as much as an adult. So if you're going to use 2 to 4 drops of an essential oil topically on an adult, you'd use 1 to 2 on a child. So no, there is no magic formula. I think it's just a matter of practicing common sense. And when in doubt, less is more. So let's talk about essential oils of the Bible. As I mentioned already, essential oils were referenced more than 300 times in the Bible. In biblical times, they were considered the most powerful form of medicine. And granted, at this point in time, we didn't have modern medicine, right? And so they were using plant therapy. They were using things of the earth. Now, one of the stories that is really cool is about the holy anointing oil. And this was talked about in Exodus. But this is an oil that was used to anoint the priests. It was also used or said to be used when there was a plague that broke out as well. And the holy anointing oil actually was composed of cinnamon, myrrh, calamus, cassia, and olive oil, which I would consider to be probably the carrier oil, because cassia and cinnamon can both be actually kind of warmer oils. So the olive oil is what they use to dilute the oil. But if you read Exodus 30, 22 through 29, it talks about the holy anointing oil. Now, when we break up this blend of oils that was used both as an anointing oil, so in a spiritual level, it was also used, as I mentioned, to help with the different plagues that were mentioned in the Old Testament. And cinnamon, which is one of the oils, is antimicrobial. It can actually help get rid of mold, and it's great during cold and flu season. So that's pretty powerful, right? There's a verse in the Bible, Exodus 30, 23. It says, take the following fine spices: 500 shekels of liquid myrrh, half as much of fragrant cinnamon, and 250 shekels of fragrant calamus. Again, we're using these oils in this day and age for very similar things: antimicrobial, balancing blood sugar, getting rid of mold, helping during cold and flu season. Cassia is mentioned in Ezekiel 27, 19. The Dan and Javan paid for your wares from Uzal. Wrought iron, cassian, and sweet cane were among your merchandise. So this is a story from the Old Testament of basically trading. They were trading cassia as merchandise. And so this is, again, a treasured essential oil today that we use for balancing blood sugar. It has warming effects on the body. It offers immune support, and again, is great during cold and flu season. Now, this just so happens to be one of my favorite essential oils. And if you use essential oils, this is going to be probably one of yours as well: frankincense. We tend to call this the king of oils. And for good reason. This is actually one of the most powerful essential oils when it comes to therapeutic benefits, both physically and emotionally. It is talked about a lot in the use of cancer. You can find a lot of studies that have been done on frankincense. It's one that we used every single day on my son during his treatment, and we continue to use on all of us very regularly. But here's a beautiful story about frankincense that is, aside from it being brought to the Christ child at birth, there's something that happens in the harvesting of the frankincense essential oil from the frankincense tree. Frankincense tree just happens to come from one of the most desolate parts of the earth. It comes from an area in Oman, Jordan, Somaliland, kind of in those different areas is where we get our frankincense. And it's a very dry, desolate place in the world. And these frankincense trees often grow on rocky cliffs that are almost impossible to imagine accessing without putting your life in danger. And I think how beautiful that this crazy tree growing like super crazy on the edge of a cliff in a desolate area can provide such an incredible healing benefit. Well, what is even more beautiful is the way that you source frankincense and the way that we get frankincense from the actual frankincense tree. And I learned this a few years ago, and I wanted to just read to you kind of the story of how frankincense is pulled from the tree and also how this can actually really relate to the story of Jesus and his crucifixion. So, of course, frankincense is frequently mentioned throughout Scripture. The oil itself is incredibly therapeutic, but as I said, the process of pulling the frankincense out of the tree is prophetic. So the oil is extracted from the Boswellia tree. As I said, the trees only grow in extreme arid conditions. In fact, they're often hanging off the sides of cliffs, making collection very difficult. The soil is dry and rocky, and it's said that the Boswellia tree needs to be at least 40 years old before we can extract one drop of oil from it. To begin the process, the tree must be scored with a knife, creating deep stripes on the tree to release the resin. The resin is known as frankincense tears. The oozing tears are wiped off, which is a low-grade frankincense. This is the type of frankincense you might find that it's sold at grocery stores. And then the tree is scored again, releasing a deeper cut of frankincense resin. The deeper cut, the more costly and therapeutic or healing the resin. So the deeper you go, the more costly it is, but the more therapeutic it is. On a third day, another cut is made. This deep wound to the tree produces the highest quality healing oil of frankincense. The resin is collected, and once dried and sorted, it is pulverized, beaten, and distilled, producing the precious frankincense oil that we get to know and appreciate for its healing and anti-inflammatory properties. And I think of Isaiah 5:35. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the cost of peace, of our peace, was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. I just think it's so beautiful that all of this points back to Jesus. Even this idea that the Boswellia tree needs to be at least 40 years old before we can extract one drop of oil from it. Jesus was in his 30s before we even knew anything really about his life. And what a beautiful depiction of this biblical reference to, of course, plant therapy, but also how prophetic it is, the harvesting of this powerful oil and Jesus's life and crucifixion. And in 3 days he rose. And so what's really spectacular about this particular essential oil is it has incredible healing benefits. It calms the nervous system. It's powerful for the brain. It helps get rid of unhealthy cells. And this oil alone is referenced 67 times in the Bible. Now, the most popular story of frankincense that you might remember is in Matthew 2:11. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So clearly this was such a treasured gift that it was brought to the Christ child. Like there was something really special about frankincense then that it was seen as so treasured that it was brought to the Christ child at his birth. I just think that is so beautiful. And I have a funny story to share with you guys. I was teaching for a professional athletic team a few years back, and I had the whole coaching staff in their PR room, and there was probably 80 to 100 people in there, some players' wives, and coaching staff and owners. And I'm passing around the bottles of essential oil, and I'm teaching them because this professional athletic team is implementing it into their protocol for their athletes. And I pass frankincense around, and it gets to the middle of the room, and I'm teaching, and you know it's pretty quiet, and all of a sudden I hear, "Oh, that smells like Jesus." And I turn back to the back of the room, and there is this awesome dude sitting back there gripping this bottle of frankincense and just huffing it. And everybody's laughing. And he's like, this literally smells like Jesus. And the guy next to him was like, have you smelled him before? He's like, no, but I feel like this is what he would smell like. And I just thought, again, how funny that, like, those of you maybe who grew up in the church, especially in a more traditional church, maybe even a Catholic church, you've smelled frankincense before because it's common to be used in different ceremonies and maybe even baptisms. And so I just thought I got such a kick out of that. I thought it was so funny. So now I always think of frankincense and I think this is probably how Jesus smelled. So as we talk about the oils that were brought to the Christ child, the next one is myrrh. And in Genesis 43, 11, it says, then their father Israel said to them, if it must be so, then do this. Take some of the best products of the land in your bags and carry them down to the man as a present, a little balm, a little honey, aromatic gum, and myrrh. Many people believe that the aromatic gum is the frankincense resin, because actually frankincense resin, especially in the areas of the world that we harvest it from, they chew the resin as gum. And so this is so cool. Again, a mention of myrrh, and it's some of the most precious gifts, right, that they are bringing as a gift. Some benefits of myrrh is it's an antiseptic, so it helps reduce infection. It actually helps balance hormones. It's more powerful than frankincense at getting rid of unhealthy cells. And I actually recommend people using them together. Now, you might feel like I'm speaking a bit cryptically when I use terms like unhealthy cells, but I have to be very careful what I say and how I say it, because, of course, the big medicine umbrella and the powers that be do not like us speaking about natural remedies and how they can help people with their healing. And so I just have to be very compliant with my language. And so I hope you don't get frustrated by the crypticness. I'm doing my best, but please understand that this is a very powerful oil to use alongside frankincense to help with your healing. This was also used by Mary during the birth of Jesus. I thought that was pretty cool that I learned. The next oil we talked about already, and this was the oil that Mary washed Jesus's feet with, and it's spikenard. It was mentioned in the Bible, and it's referred to as nard. Nard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all the trees of frankincense, myrrh, and aloes, along with all the finest spices. Aloe in the Bible is sandalwood, actually. So this happens to mention some of the most potent and powerful essential oils that we have. That was from Song of Solomon 4:14. And spikenard actually helps, I mentioned already, reducing stress, helps with anxiousness and feelings of depression. It can also lower inflammation. It's great for burns, cuts, and scrapes. And here's what's really cool, and I didn't mention this earlier, and I'd be remiss to not. So Mary washed Jesus' feet with this bottle of nard. And at the time, in this day and age, the value of a bottle of nard was equal to a year's worth of wages. Isn't that incredible? So not only was this the most beautiful story of servanthood and her worshiping her creator by washing his feet, but also just the generosity and not even worried about the cost, right? Just such a beautiful story. So the next essential oil is cedarwood. I love cedarwood. This is one of my favorites actually for sleep. But in 1 Kings 5:10, Hiram kept Solomon supplied with all of the cedar and juniper he wanted. Cedar is often used for building, and you know, you might not even have a home that's built out of cedar. But cedar actually has a lot of benefits, and King Solomon referenced cedar a lot. So cedarwood helps bring wisdom. King Solomon was one of the wisest kings we had. It actually helps with memory. It's great for ADHD. And as I mentioned, I love using it for sleep. So sandalwood, as I mentioned in the Bible, sandalwood is actually aloe. So you'll notice that it's mentioned as aloe, not sandalwood. And there came also Nicodemus, which at first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight. Then they took the body of Jesus and wound it in linen cloths with the spices as the manner of the Jews is to bury. John 19:39. So this is during the burial of Jesus and burying him with sandalwood and myrrh. And many think that this could have been because of helping with preservation, helping with just aroma, and, you know, dead bodies are not lovely. But it's also seen to kind of show as an act of worship. And in the Bible, as I mentioned, sandalwood is mentioned as aloe or aloes. This particular essential oil can help with unhealthy skin cells. It's a natural aphrodisiac. It helps with motivation. And I think it's fantastic perfume or cologne. It has a very woodsy smell. So I would say it's probably better as more of a cologne, but it smells wonderful. Now, cypress. In Isaiah 41:19, it says, I will plant cedars in the desert, acacias, myrtles, and olive trees. I will put cypress trees in the desert, elms and box trees together. And what's interesting is cypress is thought to be the tree or the cross that Jesus was hung on. Cypress is wonderful for spinal health. It's great to help with bone, joints, and ligaments. And it helps with circulation. And so it can actually really help speed up the recovery of injuries. Many times injuries, you have a hard time healing because blood flow is not getting there. So circulation is really necessary to help with healing. And cypress can help facilitate that. Rose. This is another powerful essential oil. And I like to reference this one as kind of the queen of oils. Frankincense is the king and rose is the queen. And in Song of Solomon 2:1, it says, I am a rose of Sharon, a lily of the valleys. He, as a lily among brambles, so is my love among the young women. She, as an apple tree among the trees of the forest, so is my beloved among the young men. With great delight, I sat in his shadow, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. If you haven't read Song of Solomon, it's a good, like, romantic book of the Bible to read with your spouse before bed. I'm just saying, it might get you in the mood. But it's a beautiful poetic book of a beautiful just kind of exchange of feelings and emotions between two who are in love. So rose was referenced many times actually by King Solomon. It was used by Queen Esther, and many are thought to believe that any of the women of significance in biblical times had rose, and they used it on their skin as an anti-aging mechanism. And to this day, of course, that is one of the best uses of rose. It's amazing for skin, but it also helps with mood. It can help reduce anxiety. And one of the maybe less known facts about rose is it happens to be in the plant world, it has the highest vibrational frequency of all plants besides black spruce. And so what that means is, if you know anything about Chinese medicine, qi is kind of your life force. And so rose can actually increase your life force. It actually increases your vibrational frequency. So it's a very, very powerful essential oil. And then finally, thyme. Psalm 51:7 says, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. So thyme is very similar to hyssop. They come from the same family. They can be used interchangeably. Thyme and hyssop kind of are, I would say, almost the same thing. It's not an oil or an herb used much today in North America, but it is very common in Middle Eastern parts of the world. It's still a very common spice that's used in cooking and meal preparation. Some of the benefits of thyme or hyssop: balances blood sugar, it improves respiratory health, and it's great for sore throats. So that is your little biblical history of essential oils in the Bible and the amazing, beautiful stories behind some of these plant medicine options that they had back then that we have access to today. So I really hope you enjoyed that. I hope that that was a fun little treat as we celebrate the holiday season and we don't lose sight of what this is about. But also just giving thanks to the Creator for such incredible gifts that can help provide healing. Whether or not you're navigating a cancer diagnosis, these powerful forms of plant medicine are just such a blessing. So I'm thankful for them. I hope you are as well. And I hope that you enjoyed today's episode. Did you know that every time your blood sugar spikes, you age? Wait, what? I know, that's exactly what I thought. But I don't even mean just a gray hair pops out. I mean your cells actually age. Like, you are aging at the cellular level, every time your blood sugar spikes. There's actually been a lot of hype around the word metabolic health. What does it really mean? Is it that important? I mean, my metabolism seems fine already. Well, metabolic health means far more than just your metabolism. Good metabolic health means your body can digest and absorb nutrients from food with healthy, stable levels of blood sugar, blood fat, and insulin. And fluctuations in these levels are natural, but it's important to avoid big spikes because that contributes to unfavorable long-term health. In fact, the quality of your metabolic health will determine the quality of your sleep, your weight, your mood, your energy, your clarity, your stress, and what we talk a lot about here, your immune system function. But have you heard the news? MetaPower is a brand new metabolic line that optimizes the metabolism of macronutrients for metabolic activity. Many of us have had access to this line during the pilot period, and holy cow, I wish I could share all of the incredible results and testimonies that we've each experienced, but I want you to try it for yourself. It's now available to the public to purchase, and you can get a 30-day trial of the entire MetaPower system for only $179. So here's what you need to do. Go to bit.ly/MetaThrive. That's bit.ly/METATHRIVE. bit.ly/MetaThrive. Oh, and by the way, if you do, keep an eye on your mailbox for an extra little gift from yours truly.